Our Father, we're grateful for this time, a special night, Lord, as how these families want to dedicate their children to you. We think that's an appropriate thing, even in these last days, to realize that you said children are a heritage from the Lord. And our Father, though we know in procreation how things, babies are formed, same time, we realize that God set that system up, that procedure up, when he created Adam and Eve to reproduce on this earth. And Father, down through the years, through procreation, people come to existence. And we're coming to existence that you might be able to bring a people to yourself as your family in Jesus Christ. And our Father, when children are given to us, there's a great responsibility from a mother and dad to raise that child in the fear of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, tonight we'll make a few comments and then we'll go right into the service, not be here too long. But I'd like you to look with me in Psalm 127. The Bible says, "Lo, children are a heritage," in verse 3, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hands of the mighty man, so are children of the youth." He said, "Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." In other words, having children is a great thing in humanity's life. And it used to be in the olden days, years ago, certainly in Bible days, to have a male child was seen to be an honor of a wife to give to her husband. But as we think about children, children are a blessed thing. I mean, I want you to be turning over, if you will, to also Luke chapter 1, and we'll be looking at where John the Baptist was actually birthed in Luke chapter 1 for just a moment. But I was thinking about children are a blessing, especially the young. They say some of the sweetest things. If they said those things when they were older, it wouldn't be too funny and so forth. But it's a joy to see them grow up. I was thinking about, I read where there's a teacher was trying to teach some kindergartners a phrase of some kind. And she asked the class, she said to them, she said, "What does this mean?" I mean, she said, "The sentence, he was bent on seeing her." Now, asking a 5-6-year-old child that, and nobody said anything. She said, "Don't anybody in this class understand a phrase like that?" And she said it again. "He was bent on seeing her." A little boy named Willie raised his hand up and said, "Yes, ma'am." He said, "I understand what that phrase means." And she said, "Would you tell the class, Willie?" And Willie said, "It means the sight of her doubled him up." It's amazing what comes out of the mouth of babes at times. And I was thinking about a true story in a church in Kentucky. They said that they were having a baptism one time, and they brought all the bus kids into the church for the baptism, a bunch of church children, along with the adults at the time, and said right at the end of the baptism, this little boy came down. He was about 4-year-old, 5-year-old. He got away from somebody and came down the aisle about the time the pastor got through baptizing, walked back to the pulpit, and he saw him coming down the aisle, and he said, "Just wait a minute." He said, "Son, what do you want?" He said, "Me want to be advertised." He didn't know what baptism was, but he heard advertising, I guess. He said, "Me want to be advertised." Well, tonight, we thank the Lord for you wanting to give your child, dedicating back to the Lord. Here in John, at least I'm going to use Luke 1:66. Here John the Baptist has been born to Zacharias. And he's been dumb since the conception. And now, we see in verse 63, they made signs to his father how he would have him called. He'd been born now, and they want to know what he's going to be named. And said, at that moment, he asked for a writing tablet, and wrote, saying, "His name is John," and they marveled all. And when once he did that, verse 64 said, "And his mouth was open immediately, and his tongue loose as he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwell around about them, and all these sins were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea." And then look, notice verse 66, "And all that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him." And I want to just mention a few minutes, when you ever see a child, what manner of child is this? I mean, how this one would turn out. Only God sees the potential of children. And yet God set the environment up. He gives a great responsibility on parents who have children, that they're more so than just having them. He puts a great responsibility on them that they be sure they set whatever's needed, the parameter of that child to grow up in fear of the Lord? What will determine his character or her character? What would determine the destiny of those children? There is a point, there's a parent fearful responsibility that should be had when we have children, because it's more than just having them. They're to be raised and brought up in the admonition and the nurture of the Lord. Will that child be comfort or will it be a heartache? Because it has potential to be in both. Only God can make the difference in the life. Will it be one that's inspiring and inspiration or evil influence? Will it be a blessing or curse? Will you have joy when that child gets a certain age into adulthood, or will they be tears? Can be both. And yet, God says if you train up a child when he's young, the way he should go, when he's old, he'll not part from it. He'll come back. You have to depend upon what God says about what we should do. Children are a heritage of the Lord. Fruit of the womb, he says in Psalm 127:3. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, the Bible says that we are to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That means there's some guidelines have to be put over the children so that they would grow up and understand there's a God in heaven they're going to meet one day. And when they come of age, they need to know at least that they have been loved enough. Let them know there's a way of life they don't know anything about, and it comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy just a moment, and let's read down verse 14 through 17. Here, we see Paul's writing to Timothy. Don't you notice what he says? And I think he would say this to anyone who he's writing to as far as the individual child or young person or young man, but it also shows the responsibility of the mother and dad. He says in verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing, of whom thou hast learned them." He said, Timothy, lo, verse 15, "and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures." Now, wonder how a child knows the holy. The child don't know how to read a lot of times, or the child don't know the scriptures are holy. But there's a surrender of that child that God sets in the home that he will know these things. And he said that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now notice, he said, as a child, thou hast known the Holy Spirit. Now Timothy is not a child anymore. Then he goes into verse 16, and he's talking about these scriptures that you've known from a child, want you to know as a young man now. You need to understand. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Now turn back over to chapter 1 of Timothy, for 2 Timothy, and you'll see that where he learned this, because here's what Paul said about Timothy in his early stage. He said in verse 5 of chapter 1, When I call to remembrance the unfinished faith, that is the genuine, real faith that somebody had, and therefore it gave them that inherited, or gave them that incentive to see that faith as at least given a chance to pass to Timothy. And because it was passed to him, Timothy became a great man of God. He said, when I call to remembrance the infinite faith that is in thee, watch this now, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that's in thee also. Now, Timothy, you may not understand all that's there, but Paul said, I am persuaded since it started with your grandmother and your mother, it's there. It's in you, son. And all you need to do is bring into remembrance about the things of God. Maybe God will remind him as he got older, if he studied the scriptures, and that's where you'd learn those things. Watch in verse 6, he said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stirred up the gift of God. Watch that. You have had those scriptures, your grandmother, your mother. He said, now, Timothy, I want to put you into remembrance that you stir up those scriptures. Now, if the scriptures are not there, you can't stir them up. So evidently, Paul knew this home. He knew these godly grandparents. He knew this godly mother and dad. And he said also, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Now, Paul said, I'm laying his hands on Timothy, and I'm going to, as he prayed for him, he was going to pray that God stir up those scriptures that are there. And see, that's the wonderful thing about this, folks. Listen to me. If you give hide the Word of God in your heart, or if you instruct, as the scripture talks to us, to train up a child the way he should go, and you use the scriptures, you see, it is God who implants the scriptures in their heart. And all needs to be done somewhere down the road. They're going to face something. They're going to face something that they realize they need help. And somehow or another, those scriptures are going to be stirred up so that they begin to get inner strength that they never had before. They didn't think they needed when they were adolescents. They didn't think they needed as young adults. But there come a time in their life they realize everything they've tried is not working like they thought it would work. By the way, that's the way this world is. You know what the trouble is? It's sin.
Right.
Sin has destroyed this world. And sin is destroying everything in this world. And the only thing that really helped is the Word of God hid in our hearts that we have hid there, or at least the parents have had the family devotion to the place that that child is stirred up because Scripture has been planted there. And only God can plant those Scriptures. But a child doesn't know how to read that good, so they have to see it to make it real unto them, you see. So the church, along with the parent, helps mold the child in Christ's image. Society has a big part to do, but most of the time, society leads the wrong way. Right? Society leads the wrong way. God will lead us in the right way. Now, you do what you can do and trust God for the rest. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I've learned enough now. I didn't know what a parent was. I knew what a parent was strived to be. But I want to tell you the definition of what a parent is on paper is different than what you experience. There's things you're going to face you didn't think you'd ever face. You didn't think you'd have the problems that you'd have. And you'll find this out. You can do the best you know how, teach the Scripture, have a family altar, and steal the Word of God until they get up and get on their own. But you know when it comes right down to it, to put it into practice up to that individual.
That's right.
You can't make them do it. It's up to that individual. And that's the heartache sometimes it comes. That's the reason you have to trust God. Lord, I know when he or she was a little tad coming up that they were around the altar. I know they saw us practice this. I know they was in family altar. I know we had the Bible read in our home. I know these things, Lord. And the fact is this, I've got to trust you now since they're out on their own that you will take and do what you said you'd do. That word that's there, you will bring them back. You got to trust him all the way. And that's what we see Paul explaining to Timothy here. I mean, the church, along with the parents, help mold the child, but the deciding vote is cast by the child themselves, allowed by God. And you know what? All you can do, all you know to do, but when it comes to that individual, they'll have to actually do themselves. That they'll have to cast the vote, and God won't coerce them. He'll remind them. He'll put them in circumstances, but he won't coerce them. He'll actually give them a chance to make a decision, just like he did you and I. And based on that decision, we determine how he works at that particular time. Even the best of character in Christian homes produce sometimes bad products. It's not because it won't there. It's just the fact that sometimes a person has to get out from under where they're at and practice what they've learned to practice. And since this world has so much in it that's evil, it's attracted to someone who's been, as many people say, kind of hemmed up in the Christian home. The best place in this world to be hemmed up in a Christian home. That's all there is to it. I don't care if you think it is tough. If you get out there and live like some people live, you'll see their life is a shamble before they get to the end of their life. They live mighty long because there is no hope outside of Jesus Christ. And there's no hope without God. And if you don't have his and his projection of what is in the future, it cannot be nothing but disaster. So some of the nobles in society sometimes come from shabby backgrounds, though. Because things were done right, but someone kicked out of the harness, and then suddenly God brought them back. What a joy just to see when that happens. But everybody who does kick out of the harness has scars. They come back, and they have scars. If you do like Barbara and I, who counsel them through the years, you'll find people come in and weep sitting in that council session because they said, "Preacher, if I'd just done what I knew I should have done, I wouldn't be having this terrible time now." And just about consider the fact that life's not worth even living. Either place, God promises that his word will not return unto him void. Isaiah 55, verse 11. Fruit may be delayed, but it will be produced sooner or later. Listen, only God sees your final child where it's going to be at. And we all are diamonds in the rough. Every last one of us are diamonds in the rough. God is rounding us off. Everything we find. One thing is for sure. I've found out through my life that many things I have to face, but I don't have to face them alone. I never know what it is for God to be there with me unless I'm in the valley. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have never known that God would be them in a fiery furnace unless they got in the furnace. Daniel would never known that God would be them in the lion's den had he not got in the lion's den. And you'll never know what God can do for you either until you have to go into that era where God Himself has to handle it. And we just have to back off and pray and pray and pray and pray. And one day God sets us to see the great light that He's made promises as far as our fruit of the loins are concerned. So God sees the final of a child. All children are diamonds in the rough. But ladies and gentlemen, let me just say this. Due to their fallen nature, even before they were saved, or even after they're saved, they had the fallen nature, the small fallen nature, a child is becoming, and even a child who has been saved still has a fallen nature. And that nature has never been redeemed. And a child, listen to me, is becoming a person as he grows up or she grows up to make the demands and make their demands clearly be known. When a child gets to the point, no other person made just like that child out of the billions and billions that have been born down through the centuries. And when a child gets into an era of growth to realize there's more to life than just where they're at, then they look at life in such a way, and they're trying to make their demands clearly known. Most every time when you get along a junior to the adult, to the adolescent years, especially in adolescent years and in the young adult years, you think you just got it together. You think this world is so great and mother and dad is so backwards and this, all of this. And the only thing you need to do is start having children, and then you'll understand what mother and dad goes through. You understand it. Books are written and people got rich off of them and it helped a whole lot of people. This Bible is the only thing that helps us. Because you know why books just hit the surface of the intellect? This Bible hits the heart. And when it's hit the heart and settled there, the psalmist said, I hid my heart, in my heart the word of God that I might not sin against thee. It's that, you see. It's not the intellectual knowledge of man that keeps us from sin. In fact, more than likely, they'd make us sin if we went their way. But it's the Word of God hid in our heart that keeps us from sinning against God. And so today, what a joy it is that you understand this. And I want to just give you an example of how this happened. If I turn to 1 Samuel, and then we'll have the dedication service. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, you know the story. There's a lady by the name of Hannah. She is a wife of Elkanah, the son of Jeroboam, Jeroham. And you see that one lady that he was married to, he had two wives. One was Hannah and one was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah never had any. And it broke her heart because she felt like the thing she needed to do as a lady to give her husband a child. And she got very distraught about that. And so she went to Eli the priest. And one day her husband was talking to her, and she won't eat anything. And he said to her in verse 8, Hannah, why weepest thou and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? He's crying over not having a child, not having a son. And he said, I'm your husband. I'm better to you than 10 sons. But she knew something was not just right. Her womb had been closed. So in verse 9, she went to see the priest. And she said to him, and she was in bitter of soul, and as she was never then, he saw her, and he thought she was intoxicated a little bit. And she goes to the store and make it short. And Eli said, how long have you been drunk? In verse 14, have you been? And she had an answer and said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I've neither drunk wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. And then Eli answered in verse 17 and said, as she told her what the situation was, and said, go in peace. The God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. She says to God, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you. I'll give him back to you, Lord, that he might serve you all the days of his life. Down in verse 20, it's where it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. In verse 24, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her and three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. Just a few months ago, I stood here beside you praying to the Lord to give a son. And then she said, verse 27, for this cause I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. and he worshiped the Lord there. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when you give your child to the Lord, that means he's God's. That means he's God's. And that means God gives great responsibility to see to it that child grows academically, but also spiritually. That means the time will come that you need to try to get his hand in the hand of God. That means that environment. By the way, our church has a great responsibility to help those parents too who come here, that we teach them this Bible. Amen. The Bible is the only thing that can help us know what to do before God. If we're sincere in giving our Lord to the our children back to the Lord, we'll be sincere. The Lord say, help me as a dad, help me as a mother to know what you want done so I can fill that slot until they get of age to see you yourself. Because if that child cannot see God in you, there's no one else to look to. You are the first thing on the front line to give your instructions and things that God has given you.